Keith. She's new to Islam. Okay, we're continuing the topic of angels and what it means to believe in them and what is their role in Islam and what should our relationship be with them, if any. And before we begin today's lectures, let me ask you some questions from yesterday's lecture, and this will also catch the people who are new up to date with what we've learned so far. First question, who can tell me what are the angels made from? What are the angels made from? Very good. Brother Mihir. Hold on. Brother Mihir. Brother Mihir has become one of our regular users. Alhamdulillah, he's always here. He's always here, but he's so quiet. Brother Mihir. Type your answer too, brother. You're a regular user now. You're one of the old crew. You can type your answer too. Very good. Angels are made from light. Angels are made from light. There he goes. There's Brother Me here. Oh, also guys too, for those of you who don't have an account with us, an email account with atlee.net, our regular users, Brother Mihir, you are a regular user. If you would like an email account with atlee.net, send me an email with what you want to be your username and your password. And what it'll be an account like Muhammad@atlee.net. It's a real email account. It's an account with my server. So it's not a Hotmail account. And I don't give you guys no limits. So you can connect it to your Outlook. You don't have any limit. You can connect it to your Outlook Express. And Brother Hussein, you already have one. I don't know if you're using it, but you already have an account with us. And you can connect it to your Outlook Express. And it'll automatically retrieve your emails for you. You can organize them and put them in folders and etc. Okay. Okay, good, Brother Hussein. Brother Hussein, you know you have a degree in this stuff. You know about this stuff anyway. SubhanAllah. Are you taking it off the... Are you using Outlook Express with it, Brother Hussein? Then it's not... Okay, well, if you're using Outlook Express, it's not filling up. Because what the Outlook Express does is it retrieves it from the server to your computer. And you just put it in folders. So you don't have to ever worry about it filling up that way. If you're using Outlook Express, it's taking it off of the server and it's going onto your computer. Just put them in folders and then put them on a CD disk. Sister Jennifer puts hers on CD. So you don't have to worry about space. Also, somebody can send you an MP3. I don't think I have a limit on that. Like, say, for example, somebody wants to email you an MP3, you should be able to handle it, too. It'll upload to your computer. Okay, anyway, so Brother Me here, if you want an account with us, send me an email with a username and password. Sister Amina, you, too. You're a regular user, too. Send me an email, and I'll send you the directions on how to set the account up on your Outlook Express. So send me an email with the username you want. It could be Amina@atlee.net or whatever. Okay, Brother Dubai, you too. Okay, anyway, back to the lesson. Next question. Who is the highest in status, angels or humans? Who is the highest in status, angels or humans? I want to see everybody answer this question. Sister Kawi, oh, there she goes. Sister Sharifa, Brother Kareem, Brother Mihir. Brother Mihir, who is the highest in status, angels or humans? Where's Brother Mihir? Sister Amina, there she go. Okay, very good. The answer is humans. Believe it or not, unlike what the Christians teach you, I think Christianity teaches that angels are of a higher status than us. This is not true. And who can tell me what is the proof? What is the proof that humans are of a higher status than an angel is? What's the proof? What's the dalil? What's the evidence? What's the evidence? Who can tell me? What is the evidence? Very good, Sister Amina. The evidence is the fact that Allah ordered them to bow down or prostrate to Adam, alayhi salam. That is the proof or the dalil that humans are of a higher status. So if anybody ever asks you to prove it, tell them, okay. You know the story of Adam and Eve? Well, Allah ordered the angels to bow down to Adam. That's the proof that the humans are a higher status. Okay, next question. Whenever it snows outside, or whenever it becomes windy, who makes this happen? Who can remember? Who makes this happen? Very good. Who makes this happen? Very good. The angels. Michael. Very good. This is one of the duties of the angels. Remember, the angels are the soldiers of Allah. Whenever Allah wants something to be done, He simply tells the angels to do it and they do it. If Allah says, okay, let it rain in North America today, He'll say, the angels are the one that make it rain. If Allah gets angry and wants to send some wrath, He'll say, I want to send an earthquake to the people in California. The angels make that happen. If Allah gets angry and say, hey, you see that ship on the sea? I want the winds to scare them people up. The angels are the ones that do that. The angels control the weather. Okay, very good. Next question. Are the angels visible for us to see? Can we see them? Who remembers? Sister Eager. Let's see the answer. Sister Eager and Mihamir. Brother Mihir. Can we see the angels? Very good. The answer is no. We cannot see them in their original form. And who can tell me why come we can't see them? Why come we can't see them? I mean, what does Allah say about them? That's why, maybe let me reword that. What does Allah say? If a person comes to you telling you they've seen an angel, what does Allah say about that? Very good. They are part of the unseen world. That means we cannot see them, but they can see us. So if anybody comes to you telling you he saw an angel, they are a liar, because the angels are part of the unseen world and nobody can see them in their actual form except whom? Who can remember? Except whom? What people are the only people who can see them? Very good, Sister Amina. Very good, Sharifa. The prophets, alayhi salam. The prophets are the only ones who Allah has given the ability to see the angels in their natural form. Next question. How many wings does an angel have, or are there a set number of wings? How many wings do the angels have, or are there any set numbers? Very good, very good. Different wings. Some have two, some have three, some have four. There is no set number. Alhamdulillah. Very good. I'm proud of everybody in here today. There's Medina. Hey, Medina, make sure your piece is in this purse. That's my joke to Medina. Medina always comes packing. She's got her piece ready for anybody who comes here with any fitna. Alhamdulillah. Medina's the Amira of security. She's got her piece sitting there. Okay, next question. How many wings does Angel Jibril have? Who can tell me? How many wings does Jibril, alayhi salam, have? Brother Mihir. As you can see, guys, I'm trying to get Brother Mihir involved here. Brother Mihir, how many wings does Angel Jibril, alayhi salam, have? Very good. He has 600 wings. So that shows that there is no set number. Some angels just have two, some just have three, four. Hey, Jibril, alayhi salam, has 600. So imagine that. Next question. Are the angels male or female? Who can remember? What sex are the angels? Are they male or female? Poor Brother Mihir, he's lagging. He must be from Pakistan or India or some other country. I'm sorry to hear that, brother. He's from overseas, and he's from one of the countries that are not too good with their internet. Bear with us, brother. I know. Oh, because of the modem? Okay. What sex are the angels? Very good. The angels are of no sex, no gender. They are sexless. They're not male and they're not female. And for unlike what the Christians teach you, the Christians try to teach you that the angels are females flying around with these golden halos, eating Philadelphia cream cheese sandwiches, whatever that commercial is, those Philadelphia cream cheese snacks, which taste good, by the way. I love them, especially the chocolate raspberry kind. But that's not true. They are sexless. Exactly, Brother Kareem. They are sexless. Next question. Do the angels make babies? Do they procreate? Who can tell me? Do the angels procreate? They make babies? They have sex? Very good. The answer is no. Unlike us, the angels do not procreate. They do not have sex. Very good. They're not in need of any of this stuff. Remember, Allah created the angels to do nothing except obey Him and worship Him. They only think what Allah tells them to think. They only do what He tells them to do. If He say jump, they say, how high, Allah? When He says fall down, they say, okay, sir, and they're down. So they're unlike us in a lot of ways. Next question. Can the angels take the physical form of things? And if so, give me some examples. Can the angels take the physical form of things? Now, we talked about how none of us can see the angel in their original state because they are part of the unseen world. But can they take on the form of another creature or being? And if so, give me some examples. Very good. The answer is yes. Yes, they can take on. Brother Eager, Sister Eager, Sister Medina. Oh, okay. I see you guys. Wrong question. Okay, yes. I think I'm lagging here too. Yes, they can. They can take on the form of other beings. An example would be a cat or a bird or a beautiful person. The angels take the form of beautiful things, good things. They do not take the form of bad things. And give me some examples of something bad that the angels would never take the form of. Who can tell me? Very good. A dog is one thing. Very good. Roaches, snakes, what else? Anything that's ugly or bad. They do not take the form. Very good. Maggots, that type of junk. President Bush. Brother Dubai. President Bush. SubhanAllah. Exactly. The angels do not take the form of anything bad. They only take the form of beautiful, nice, pleasant, sweet things. And finally, from yesterday, can a person not believe in one angel but believe in all the rest and still be considered a Muslim? Who can tell me? Can the person not believe, say for example, I choose to not believe in the angels that come to you in the grave, but I do believe in Jibril alayhi salam and Israfil and the others. Can a person denounce one angel and believe in the others and still be a Muslim? Very good. The answer is no. Just like we cannot renounce not one ayat of the Quran. To be a Muslim, you have to believe in the entire Quran. You can't say, I believe in everything except this verse here that talks about Jesus. You have to accept every ayat of the Quran, just like you have to accept every prophet. You cannot say that I believe in all the prophets, but I don't believe in Muhammad, or I don't believe in Adam. You have to accept all the prophets of Allah. The same thing with the angels. You cannot say that I believe in Jibril, but I don't believe in Michael. To reject even one makes you a disbeliever. Okay, so basically, that's what we talked about yesterday. Okay, and today we're going to continue on with the next chapter here from this book, which is written. This is a mixture, by the way. This email I sent you out that we're studying from, these are excerpts from different books. I'm using a book written by Ibn Taymiyyah, a couple of chapters from there. I'm using a book by Ibn Qayyim. I'm using some stuff from Juma magazine. I'm using some stuff from, Sheikh Atlee. I got some of Sheikh Atlee's stuff in here. So I'm using a mixture of all kind of information for this class, okay, about the angels. Okay, today we're going to continue by talking more about these celestial beings. First of all, the theme of angels has suddenly commanded the attention of the news media and countless individuals worldwide. There are many books that are being published about angels. In fact, as of this date, there are over 5 million books written about angels. There have been many stories reported about people who have came in contact with angels. Some of those stories may be true, and many of them are not true. But regardless, most people who claim to have come in contact with an angel have described it as being a beautiful, wonderful, warm experience. Okay? We have to remember, guys, that belief in the angels is one of the foundations of Islam. But it's not just the foundation of Islam. It's the foundation of all the four religions. Every book that Allah sent to the people talked of believing in the angels. This belief is included in Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. Now, in Islam, the belief in angels is one of the cardinal articles of faith. Angels are seen as being the servants of Allah. They are created of light, and they act as intermediaries between Allah and His creation. We cannot fully comprehend the true nature of angels, and it's hard for us to understand that they can materialize in the form of humans, but this is true. They actually have done this. And there are many stories that have talked about angels who have taken the form of humans. And many of them you have read in hadiths. For example, we have the hadith whereas the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was sitting with the companions, talking one day, and a beautiful, handsome man dressed in white came up to the Prophet and asked him, tell me about Islam. That was Jibril, alayhi salam, who had taken the form of a man just to question the Prophet to see if he had learned what he had taught him well. Then there's other hadiths that you read about during the Battle of Badr. The Battle of Badr, when the Muslims were fighting against the Quraysh. Remember, another one of the duties of the angels is that Allah sends them to help the believers whenever we fight against the kuffar. Well, during the Battle of Badr, Allah sent the angels to help the Muslims who were outnumbered, dressed white, and was riding on the back of a horse with his sword, fighting the Quraysh. And Shaitan took off and ran when he saw him. Okay, so there's many stories here in Islam that are proof that the angels, alayhi salam, do materialize in the form of a human. Okay? At the time that Allah created Adam, the angels were commanded by Allah to bow down before him. Now remember, one of the major differences between the angels and humans is that the angels do not have free will. And let me talk a little bit about this concept of free will. Free will means the ability to choose, the ability to think for yourself, the ability to choose between what is good and what is bad, what is right and what is wrong. Allah has given this gift of free will to the humans and to the jinn, but He did not give it to the angels. Okay, so thus, a lot of people ask the question, if everything is written for us as humans, if Allah has already wrote for us that we're going to go to hell, what's the use in even trying to do good? The answer is simple. Allah knows what we're going to do before we do it because He's all-knowing. But He's not the one who's making that choice for us. You make your own choice. All of us here knows the difference between right and wrong. We all know what is haram and what is lawful. However, Allah knows what we're going to choose. But if you choose the haram over that which is lawful, you can't blame Allah. You blame yourself because you made that choice for yourself. So on the day of judgment, when Allah gathers us all together and you stand before Him and He gives you your book of deeds and He orders you to read, He'll tell you, guess what? You're going to hell. But I want you to read from the book of deeds so you can see how you chose this for yourself. I created you to worship me. I created you to obey me, but you chose to disobey me. For example, on September 15th, 1998, you were in a company of people who were committing zina. You know that zina is haram. You had the choice to leave or stay. You chose to stay, so thus that is a point against you. So thus Allah will have you read through your entire life record, and you can see, yes, I'm going to hell. Allah knew that. But I can't blame Allah. I made that choice for myself. So that's the reason why, guys, even though things are already decreed, we still have to keep going. And this is what free will is. Free will gives you the ability to choose for yourself. The angels don't make choices. They have no free will. They don't think for themselves. They do what Allah says they do. Okay? So anyway, when Allah ordered the angels to prostrate before Adam, they all obediently prostrated. And their prostration was a sign of obedience to Allah. And it was also a sign of respect to Adam, alayhi salam. And Allah tells us in the Quran, the interpretation, the meaning, He says, behold, we said to the angels, bow down to Adam. They all bowed down except for Iblis. He was one of the jinns. And he broke the command to his Lord. So here you can see, guys, this is also the proof that Iblis was not an angel. Contrary to Christian belief, the Christians teach you that Iblis was a fallen angel. Iblis was not an angel. He was the father of the jinn. He was a jinn who Allah had favored. And Allah allowed him to walk amongst the angels and be amongst them because Allah had favored him over others. However, Iblis, he had free will. He chose to disobey Allah. He chose to not bow down. And this is what made him lose faith with Allah. Allah says in the Quran, the interpretation, the meaning, that Iblis was not an angel. He was one of the jinns who possessed a free will. He was possessed of a fiery and an arrogant nature, and he was puffed up with pride. When questioned by Allah as to why he refused to bow down, he said, oh Allah, you're asking me to bow before him. I am better than he is. You created me from smokeless fire, and you created him from earth. So this is the excuse that Iblis gave for not obeying the law. And his arrogant attitude is what led to him being expelled from heaven. Okay, so Iblis was not an angel. He was the father of all the jinn. He was a jinn. And this is what led to him being thrown out of paradise, out of heaven. Also, Allah tells us that he created all these beautiful angels. And of all these angels, there are some who are known as archangels. Archangels. The archangels are the top angels, the ones assigned to being over the others. For example, some of the archangels that we know of is Jibril, alayhi salam. Jibril is the head of all the angels. He's the one who gives out the commands. Whenever Allah wants something to be done, he calls upon Jibril. And he says, Jibril, I want this done. And Jibril is the one that goes and tells the angels to do it. For example, if Allah wants it to rain, he says, Jibril, I want it to rain. So Jibril goes and says, Mikael, make it rain. Another archangel is Mikael. And his duty is to control the rain, to control the weather. Another archangel is Israfil. Israfil was the angel who was assigned to call the trumpet, to blow the trumpet on the day of judgment. Another archangel is Malak. Malak is the guardian, the keeper of the hell, of the gates of hell. So thus, those are some of the archangels which Allah has told us of. Another thing about the angels. As Muslims, every year during the month of Ramadan, the month of Ramadan has a beautiful night in it. This night is worth more than 1,000 nights. This night is called the Night of Power. And you can find the Night of Power somewhere in the last 10 days of Ramadan. One of the things that makes the Night of Power so beautiful and wonderful is that this is the night in which all the angels, including Jibril, all the angels descend from the heavens and they bring mercy and peace to the believers. And Allah tells us this in the Quran. He says, and indeed, we have indeed revealed this message in the Night of Power. And what will explain to you what the Night of Power is? The Night of Power is better than 1,000 nights. There on that night come down all the angels along with Jibril. And they say peace. And it is peace until the rise of dawn. So this is why the Night of Power is so special for us as Muslims. It's the night in which all the angels come down from the heavens, including Jibril, alayhi salam, and they issue peace, peace to all the believing Muslims. Okay. Again, the number one angel mentioned in Islam and all the other religions is the angel Jibril, alayhi salam. Jibril is the head angel, and he is the angel of revelation. Whenever Allah wanted to send a revelation to a prophet, he sent it through Jibril. Jibril was the one who sent the message to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Prophet Jesus alaihi salam, and Prophet Moses alaihi salam. So you want to remember that Jibril was sent to every prophet who Allah gave a revelation to. And he was the one that was sent to the prophet to reveal that revelation. Also, Allah tells us in the Quran the story of the beautiful Jewish girl named Maryam, or Mary. alayhi salam. She was the mother of Jesus, alayhi salam. Allah sent Jibril to her too. Jibril was the one who went to her and gave her the message that she was pregnant, that she would be pregnant with a son. And he would be born, and he is to be called Jesus. So Jibril, alayhi salam, also was sent to Mary, Mariam, the mother of Jesus, to convey Allah's message. So you want to remember, the angel of revelations is Jibril. In addition to the archangels, there's other angels too, some of whom Allah has told us their names. Now, we talked about how each and every one of us have recording angels assigned above our shoulders. And their job is to write down our good and bad deeds. Well, their names have been revealed to us too. Their names are Raqib and Atib. Those are the names of the two recording angels. One is on the right and one is on the left of every individual. The one on the right records every good deed performed by the individual, and he multiplies it by 10. The one on the left records every bad deed. And to show how merciful Allah is, guys, whenever you do something good, it's multiplied by 10. So say, for example, I did 2 good deeds today. I gave in charity, and I came here and talked to you guys at the website. Those are 2 good deeds. But I don't get 2 points. I get 10 points for each one. So thus, I received 20 points for today for doing those 2 good deeds. But to show how merciful Allah is, whenever you do a bad deed, it only counts as a number 1 against you. So say, for example, I taught at the website today, I gave in charity, and I ate some pork. Astaghfirullah. Never in my life had no pork. But say I did that. I would get 20 points for the 2 good deeds and 1 point against me for eating pork. So this is done by Allah, guys, to show how merciful he is. So that on the day of judgment, when you stand before him, he's trying to make it so that your good deeds will outweigh your bad deeds. Because remember, if your good deeds are more than your bad, you'll enter into paradise. If they are less, you won't. So you want to remember, Raqib and Atib, they write down your good and bad deeds. If you do something good, you get 10 points for it. Do something bad, you get 1 point against you. Okay? In addition to Raqib and Atib, Allah tells us that of 2 other angels, their names are Munkar and Nakir. These are the 2 angels who are in charge of questioning you when you're in your grave. And they are the 2 angels who will show you your place in heaven or in hell. Also, we talked yesterday about Ridwan. Ridwan is another angel. He is the custodian of the Garden of Paradise. And then there are 2 other angels that Allah tells us of. Their names are Harut and Marut. These are the 2 angels who came down upon the city of Babylon. And they were the 2 angels who warned the people in that city to stop their evil ways. The people back then were indulging in astrology and magic and witchcraft and wizardry. They were also engaging in homosexuality. The men were having sex with the men, the women with the women. They were also engaging in sex with animals. They were doing all these haram things. So Allah sent the angels Harut and Marut to warn these people. And they took the appearance of two beautiful, handsome men. Two beautiful, handsome men. And they came to warn the people to give up their evil ways. And when the people refused to listen, Harut and Marut were the ones who destroyed their cities. The cities of Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed by Harut and Marut. And all they did was issue a shout, yell, everybody drops dead. So those are two other angels that Allah has given the names of, Harut and Marut. Okay? There are other angels that Allah does not tell us their name. For example, we have angels whose job is to sustain the throne of Allah. They do nothing except sit around the throne of Allah praising Allah. They sit there praising Allah and asking Allah to forgive the people for their sins. Okay? There are other angels who will be assigned to greet those of us who are fortunate enough to make it to paradise. So thus, these are the different angels that Allah has told us of. And again, as a Muslim, we have to believe in all of them. You cannot say that you believe in Jibril, alayhi salam, but you don't believe in those two angels who are going to come to you when you're in your grave. If you reject this, then you are a disbeliever. Okay, are there any questions? Any questions? Okay, I'm going to stop right here for today because we got about, 15 more minutes left. So I'm going to stop right here to allow time for questions because Brother Abu Abdullah has a class right after me. Then Imam Ibrahim will be after that. So I'm going to stop right here, and if you guys have any questions about what we just discussed, inshallah, go ahead and ask them. Tomorrow, we're going to continue by speaking a little bit more about the angels, and we're going to talk about some things from that, let's see what else we got here. We're going to go into a little bit more detail about the things that the angels do and don't do. And let's see what else is here. Okay, yeah. So if you guys have any questions, inshallah, go ahead and ask them. Well, in fact, what we're going to do is we're going to finish up the topic of angels tomorrow. And then we'll go, the next topic will be jinn, because I'll be going to the hospital on Monday. So when I come back, inshallah, the weekend, we can start the topic of the jinn. So I want to finish up the topic of the angels by tomorrow. It doesn't matter. It only counts one against you. That shows how merciful Allah is. Your bad deeds will count as a number one against you, not double. Shows how merciful Allah is. So you can, I mean, it sounds like it's so easy to go to heaven, but it's not. You'd be surprised how most of us, well, even though every good thing we do is multiplied by 10, and the bad is only one, you'd be surprised how many of us are walking around with more bad deeds than good deeds. So don't be fooled by how easy it sounds, Brother Dubai. It's not as easy as it sounds, because Allah has told us that there will be far more people in hell than heaven. So you'd be surprised. Most of us will be sitting in hell. Even though Allah was merciful and how he graded us, we done blew it for ourselves, many of us. Raqib and Atib. No, there's good in us. It doesn't mean that, Sister Amina. It just means that we made the wrong choices, that's all. Because there's good in us. We can't say there's no good in us, because some of us will be in heaven. So we can't say that. What we have to say is the reality is that many of us will be in hell because we chose it. We chose the life of this world over Allah. We chose our love for money, our love for women, our love for other things of this life over Allah. But we cannot say there's no good in us, because there's good in everything Allah created, including Shaitan. There's good in everything Allah created, including Shaitan. And the good in Shaitan is, without him, you wouldn't get to heaven. Because how do you get to heaven? By disobeying him. So there's good in everything Allah created. For those of us who end up in hell, we end there because we chose it for ourselves. We were in love with the life of this world instead of being in love with Allah. So we can't say that there's no good in us. Okay, brother, what is this? Ibn, we can't hear you at all. Fix your microphone. There's no sound from you. It's still too low. You need to turn it up. You need to go to the settings of your computer and put the microphone all the way up to the top. It's too low. All we can hear is a whisper. No, what that's talking about is Allah says anybody with the mustard seed of faith, and that means believing in him, anyone who believes in Allah with even a mustard seed of faith will be admitted into paradise. But it's not as easy as it sounds. A lot of people misinterpret this to mean, okay, that you can just say you believe in God and you're going to heaven. That's not true. A person who truly believes in Allah is a person who would never deliberately disobey him. There's a lot of people who will be in hell, not because they are unbelievers, but because they committed sins. Many of us will be in hell because of our sins, not because we didn't believe in Allah. So that's what Allah means when he says, even if you have a mustard seed of faith, he will take you out. Because the people of hell will be in two different groups. You got the people who will be in there forever, and those are the disbelievers. And you have the people who will be in there for a short time, and these are the believers who are in hell because of their sins. So say, for example, you committed the sin of adultery. You committed adultery, and you never asked Allah to forgive you, but you do believe in Allah, you will have to go to hell. You're going to have to do some time in hell for that sin of adultery. But eventually Allah will take you out. Eventually, it's like going to prison. Say, for example, you are a person who prays 5 times a day. You fast during Ramadan. You believe in Allah and his angels. But on January the 12th, you drank some alcohol. And you know alcohol is haram. And you did not repent for that sin. You're going to have to go to hell for that. You're going to have to go to jail and serve some time. It's just like going to jail. But eventually Allah will take you out of hell. We talked about how for those believers who will end up in hell for their sins, they will come out when the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, intercedes for them. The Prophet Muhammad will intercede on behalf of his believers. And he will say, "Oh Allah, the believers who are in hell for their sins, please bring them out." And that's when Allah will bring you out. Right. But it's just like going to jail. So that's what that ayat means. But a lot of people do not understand it and they misinterpret that ayat. So when Allah says anyone with a mustard seed of faith will come out, he's talking about the believers of us who will be in hell because of our sins, not because of our beliefs. Yeah, we have to understand, guys. I mean, like I say, Allah is one who will punish us for disobeying him, but Allah is also merciful to us too. For those of us who truly believe in Allah, and again, when you believe in Allah, that means you believe in his angels, his prophets, his books, and you, a believer would never, ever, ever, ever deliberately disobey Allah. For those of us who truly believe in Allah, inshallah, Allah will eventually reward us with paradise. But for those of us who don't, it's a different story. Okay, Brother Kareem, inshallah, wa alaykum salam. Okay, good. Yeah, we have lectures for the rest of the day up until 10 o'clock tonight. Inshallah. Okay, guys, I'm going to turn the microphone over to Brother Abu Abdullah now. Oh, I was recording this. Let me turn this off.